So it is July 22nd. Welcome to the prayer call for the Republic for the United States of America. Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ and sons and daughters of the Republic. These are exciting times for our nation. Some folks would say that it's time to bring out the popcorn. Others are more somber and don't see any entertainment value in what we're facing. I would say to you, where there is no vision, the people perish. Or in another version of Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Well, we have a vision. We are a nation birthed, founded, and raised up thanks to men and women who went before us and gave their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor to build a structure that can and will, by the grace of Almighty God, be rebuilt and restored to fulfill the purposes of government, to honor God and allow her citizens the free expression of his nature within them, and to fulfill his calling found in the sacred scriptures. And that calling is go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, as men and women of vision, we stand poised and restrained as we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our midst and to behold the glory of God as he stirs the hearts and minds of his kids. Of course, on the other hand, we see forces within our nation which have no vision. We see the lack of restraint as we see the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, the meltdown of the media, and the Democratic Party repositioning their presidential pick that seems conjured up from the top down as opposed to the free selection of those of Democratic persuasions. Okay, then, before I opine past the call to prayer, let's begin by joining our hearts in a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before together as we cast our cares upon you. Seek your wisdom, your heart, and your guidance as we enter into a time of reflection, a study of the time we are in your calendar in the month of Tammuz. We declare that we are a nation of people founded on your word, the Holy Bible, the teachings and principles found in the Old and New Testaments. Imperfect as we are, as clay vessels, earthen vessels, we affirm that we are new creatures in Christ, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Each day we are being more carefully conformed into your image and likeness as we await your coming for your prepared bride, your people, your church, in the fullness of time. This week we ask you to quicken our spirit to recognize personally and intimately the ways you are calling each of us to go, to change, and to pivot, to align more perfectly to your time and your seasons as you sweep across the world in this third great awakening. We thank you, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. And amen. Well, last week I sensed the Lord caution us about being an obstacle to others by holding offense, unforgiveness, and judgment against others. Stephen was stoned to death at the time of Saul, the self-righteous Pharisee. And as Stephen took his last breath, he asked God not to hold the sins and offenses of those who stoned him against them. That takes a lot of courage and compassion. Jesus tells us in John 12:47, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. How often do we find ourselves being the judge and jury of others' behavior and actions, either in our thoughts, our feelings, or what we say about folks? I think what God's saying to his kids is, keep the vision of redemption. Know who I am. Know who the enemy is. This week we saw much discussion about God's intervention in the affairs of our nation with the attempted assassination of Donald John Trump. For me, Scripture tells us it's the thief the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what I saw two Saturdays ago. The thief killed a firefighter who willingly laid down his life for his wife and daughter. If the bullet had hit President Trump, would it not have continued through and killed this man? I heard a story once of a father who took his son and his son's friend out fishing. The weather turned bad and the boat flipped over. The father had a choice. I can take one of these boys to shore. He had a split-second decision to make. Do I take my son or do I take the son's friend under my arm as I swim to shore? He knew his son had a personal relationship with Jesus. The other boy did not. He left his own son and brought the friend to shore. This boy did come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior and went on to become a preacher. He recounts this father's love towards him. Did God dispatch angels to protect this man, Donald Trump, who doesn't yet have a personal relationship with his son? I would only be guessing, and so would you, unless you have a word of knowledge from the Spirit. I want to touch on a cautionary warning that Jesus gives us in Matthew 24:4, after his disciples asked him, "What will be the sign of his coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." He goes on to describe many things that will try to pull you and I off course into fear and deception. Paul warns in Thessalonians about the great apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. He says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." I looked up apostasy, and it's defined in Merriam-Webster as an act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith, abandonment of a previous loyalty, defection. I challenge each of us to let no one deceive you. We think we know what's going on by watching main and alternative news streams, and we think we are in the know. The pundits say there is one shooter. Another analyzes the audio and demonstrates there's at least two different firearms. Another shows footage of a second person on top of a water tower. Some say it was an inside job. Some say it was a failed attempt. Others say it was calculated to turn hearts towards Trump and seal his election. What I'm desiring to bring to your attention this evening is this. Develop a strong and intimate communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and allow the Spirit of all truth to lead you. Many will come to deceive and take you off course if you're not vigilant. Okay, enough on this topic. Let's change gears. Bruce Dietler agreed to give us a look into the news of the week for us to discern what we're called to bring to the Lord in prayer. I haven't told Bruce what I've prepared this week, so I trust all the pieces of this evening weave together in a tapestry that God has as a gift for his children this evening. So, Bruce Dietler, I yield the floor to you, sir.
Well, thank you, Brother Robert. I have been tasked with bringing forth the news of That Was the Week That Was for July 15th through the 22nd. Any one of these events by itself would be major events potentially, but yet when we start looking at what's going on today, we forget about what happened yesterday, much less the day before, and who knows what happened 6 days ago. So I'll bring it back to your attention. Now, where I'm going with this, I'm just going to highlight some of the news headlines, basically, of the last 7 days, And then I'm going to share just a small snatch of four different prophetic words from four different individuals to bring our focus back to where the Lord would have us to be. We don't want to be focused on what's going on in the world, but we don't want to be ignorant either. Ignorance is lacking knowledge. So we want to be aware. So if you can remember back to last Monday, the 15th, that was a major, major day in the fact that the documents case against Trump was dismissed in Florida. That was only a week ago. Jack Smith, the special prosecutor appointment, was declared unconstitutional by the judge, which threw out the case. That same day, the RNC convention began and ran through Thursday of the week in Milwaukee. That same day, President Trump chose J.D. Vance as his VP candidate. And Vance, at 39 years of age, is the youngest since Nixon. He is the first millennial, the first Marine on a presidential ticket. On Tuesday, another major event, certainly, especially if you were the recipient of this, Elon Musk announced that he will fund a pro-Trump political action conference with $45 million per month. Not bad. That same day, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez was convicted on 18 counts of corruption and influence peddling and is now being forced out of the Senate by his colleagues. On Wednesday, interesting thought, is Israel to formally annex the West Bank after the International Court of Justice ruling? Israeli cabinet tells Netanyahu to, quote, capture the area by annexation. After the ICJ says that all West Bank Israeli settlements established since 1967 are illegal. On Thursday, interesting in the fact that there was a federal determination by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that on the surface sounded good. On the surface, it requires, this is for Arizona specifically, it requires that anyone who tries to register to vote in the state of Arizona using a state form is required at the same time to provide documented proof of citizenship. If they do not, the application must now be rejected. So that itself is a milestone. But if you read the rest of that decision, it's a little bit interesting. This Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rejected a plea by Arizona Republican legislative leaders to delay a ruling by a trial judge, which would allow those who sign up to vote using a federal registration form from casting a ballot in the presidential race, at least for now. So there are two different forms. There's a federal form of some sort. There is a state form. This Court of Appeals decided to decline to prohibit the use of the federal registration form for casting a ballot. In the same order, they also said that those using the federal form can still cast their ballots by mail. So this means that more than 35,000 Arizonans who have signed up using that federal form will get a say in the upcoming election. They did not have to present any proof of citizenship to get that form. 14.3% of those who use the federal form are registered Republicans. By contrast, Republicans comprise 34.5% of total active registered voters in Arizona. Joe Biden won Arizona over Trump, however, in 2020 by fewer than 11,000 votes. So, if you have 35,000 Arizonans voting who cannot prove their citizenship, and Biden won by 11,000 votes, that good news is a net negative for the Republicans. Also on Thursday, at the end of the Republican National Convention, Trump announced he will be reestablishing the Republic. One of the last things that he said. Did not explain it, but that was his statement. On Friday, CrowdStrike and Microsoft caused a global chaos with the largest IT outage and computer crash in history, which affected airlines, banks, healthcare, all sorts of things, and the airlines are still trying to recover from that ordeal. Also Friday, Israel was struck by a drone from Yemen, killing one and injuring multiple others, along with a fusillade missiles. Yes, missiles, that's the word. Missiles coming from Hezbollah. So they're getting hit from two different directions. That was Friday. Saturday, Israel struck back at the, quote, Houthi terrorist regime in Yemen for the first time with a long-distance airstrike targeting the area from which the drone originated. So that's the first time Israel has struck Yemen. On Saturday, some guy named Biden announced he will no longer seek re-election, endorses Kamala to replace himself.
That was Sunday.
That was Sunday, excuse me. Sunday the 21st, okay. So Biden announced he's not seeking re-election, endorses Kamala to replace him. It's the first time this has occurred since LBJ chose not to seek re-election in March of 1968. So that's what's going on in the world around us. What does God have to say about what's going on in the world? Krista Elisha from Oxford, Ohio, said on the 17th, in part, she said, hopelessness, fear, and looking at our lack or inability are three attacks that Satan is launching to distract us from seeing what God is saying and doing. The main goal of this assignment is to get us to abort the promise, the mission, the position that God is calling us to. Take your thoughts captive. Cast down every thought or imagination that leads you into fear, despair, or hopelessness. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, and he will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Julie Green has had several prophetic words since last Monday, and just snatches from several of those. On July 10th, she came out with, she said, do not fear what they might do to your elections. Stop talking about your enemies and what they want to do. Trust in my hand to free your land. I am the one who will bring back the rightful president in an unprecedented and unconventional way. Watch and see a mighty victory. Oh, United States, you will see that it could only have been done by me, saith the Lord. Next day she had one, we are growing stronger as our enemies are growing weaker. God wants you to declare and decree, and then she gives this, we are growing stronger as our enemies are growing weaker. We are being perfected in our faith as our enemies are growing in fear. We have a sound mind, the mind of Christ that is strong and immovable, while our enemies grow in fear and confusion. We are holding the line and our enemies are retreating. We are walking into victory while our enemies are walking into their defeat. A shaking is happening now to shake off those shackles over your mind, your body, your family, your finances, and your nation. Receive that outpouring of power in this hour. Last one from her, in part, talking about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. This action, the assassination attempt, marks a time in your nation where a shift is taking place. The momentum has shifted. Your enemies will regret these actions taken against my nation, the land of my eagle. The days of Haman are here. Their defeat is near. So watch what I do to deliver my nation from the hands of the murderers and treasonous traitors. I am making my nation strong again. I am making my nation awake again. I am making my nation united again. I am making my nation victorious again. My children, do not fear what you hear. Do not fear what they say or try to do next because of this failed attempt at my son. The tides have turned. They will fall faster now. Just wait and see how fast your enemies flee, like rats from a burning building. Their plans have been set ablaze with no way to recover from this disastrous decision that has been made. Wait and watch for my David's triumphant return and your enemy's ultimate defeat. It is near, and it will be clear that I am here, saith the Lord of hosts. Then Ivan Atiyah from Egypt. One quick note from her said, as I swore to Abraham, this is the word of the Lord, as I swore to Abraham that I would bless him, I declare the same to you, saying, I swear by myself that I will bless you, that because you hold on to the victory of my son Jesus, despite circumstances, this will be your month of victory. Glory to God. Lift up your head and be filled with joy, for you will be amazed at the checkmate position, for you will be in awe to see me as the master chess player on the board of your life. Checkmate. Last one is from Amanda Grace from the 11th, a prophetic word of the Lord. This was received 2 days before the assassination attempt on Trump's life, and she said, in part, I am God, there is no other. Stay the course, my children. Stay the course with me. Do not get spellbound by the prognosticators and puppets who will lure you to allow fear and rage to enter. Anchor in my word, and you and your households shall and will be saved, for the enemy is desperately looking for weak areas right now to exploit, to steal, to destroy, to cause chaos to. He is attempting this any way he can, and your authority through Christ Jesus and continually bringing that onslaught of power will stop serious attacks in this time. This is the hour for you to keep your sword of the Spirit and shield of faith up continually. Do not let down your guard, says the Lord. For I am your front and your rear guard, says the Lord. Know this day, what has been spoken forth will be accomplished, and that I, the Lord your God, am with you, my children, even until the end of the age. The Lord is with you and will fight for you in this hour as you surrender and submit to my word, my will, and my plans, so my purposes may be accomplished to their fullest in this unique time within the earth. Thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Brother Robert. Back to you, brother.
Thank you very much, Bruce. You know, it's very interesting that Bruce chose to not only give us a report on the news, but to then scan a number of prophetic words. And it segues into what I want to share here. Firstly, for those of you who are new to the Republic Prayer Call, Pastor Wade, who's the chaplain before me, has, I think for about 5 years now, prepared the Hebraic calendar, which gets presented. It's by email. It's also posted on the Republic website. So if you're unfamiliar with the Hebraic calendar, if you come from a branch of Christianity that doesn't follow the Hebraic calendar, I just want to speak into that. This month is the month of Tammuz, which is 5784. I am not an expert. I am a student of the Word of God, and I have this slow awakening to the command that God gives us in His Word to observe His seasons and festivals. I come out of the Christian festivities of Santa Claus and Easter eggs, so prominent in our Western culture. So I'll go back to my an earlier comment of, take heed that no one deceives you. So that takes me into my own journey, and I have to confess that I am a bit cynical of too many prophetic words. You know, each of these folks say, thus saith the Lord, and we're asked to believe what they have to say is true. For me, it's not my sweet spot. I've been deceived in the past. My journey came from Catholicism through a message of the Lord, which said to my heart when I put my prayer petition under the cathedral door, because it was locked and I'm negotiating with God. As a Catholic, you do rosaries, right? So I'm petitioning for something that was going on in my life, and I get down on one knee and I say, well, will you accept my petition, Lord, if I slide it under the door of the cathedral? And as I'm on my knee, God says to me, you know, Robert, there's more to me than this. And that just was such a, he didn't give me specifics. He just said, there's more to me. And it challenged my heart to go deeper into an understanding of what his nature is. So coming from a devotional Catholic devotion of do's and don'ts, and, you know, if I do more, pray more, fast more, serve more, help the poor more, then I'm going to get more brownie points and God's going to think I'm a good guy, you know, and open the, St. Peter's going to open the gates to heaven. So I came from that into being deceived with a number of false teachings as I followed things like the Ascended Masters, who give what they call dictations, as if it's the authentic word of God. So you're listening to these channelings of messages from other realms. And to me, I also got lost in this whole devotion to these beings who are greater, smarter, more holy than me, have ascended to God, and they're coming back and saying, okay, now I'm going to show you how to get there. And so I am cynical in prophetic words, and I confess that, but God also says in his word that you shouldn't despise prophetic words. So, you know, I'm somewhere in between there. So this week, I'm reading through the Hebraic calendar of Tammuz, and one of the articles spoke to me. And so again, I'm like, yeah, I put it on the shelf. I don't know. We'll see. And this morning, I am reading scripture and reading some studies into the life of Joseph, and I got a confirmation in scripture. So if you turn with me to Psalm 105, verses 19 to 22, the situation is where King David is recounting God's eternal faithfulness, and he's writing about Joseph's challenge on how he, God, sent him and sold him into slavery. So he sent Joseph, sold him into slavery. They hurt his feet with fetters and laid him in irons. Verse 19 says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The rulers of the people let him go free. He made him, meaning Joseph, lord of his house. That's the king, made Joseph the lord of his house, and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. So that, I'm going, there you go, that's the word of God that confirms what Charlie Shamp gave us a word in the calendar for Saturday. And let's see if I can find the calendar and read what that word is. I think I might have printed it out here. Oh, yeah, here it is. So on Saturday, Charlie said the following. He said, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, rise up, release your light, advance boldly, leave the wilderness as a memory. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, quote, after a season steeped with obscurity, where the shadows have cloaked your potential and the silence has been your companion, the time of consecration and preparation has been fulfilled. You have been refined in the quiet, honed in the unseen places, and now the call resounds clear and undeniable. Rise up, release your light, advance boldly. Leave the wilderness as a memory. Like a seed that is lain dormant beneath the frost, gathering strength, gathering purpose, you are now ready to break through the surface. The wilderness, though it has been a place of trial and testing, has also been a sanctuary where your roots have deepened and your resilience has grown. It is time to press forward, to cast off the cloak of past hindrances and step boldly into the light of your destiny. He goes on to say, somebody's making a bunch of noise out there. If you think it's you, if you could mute your microphone, that would be awesome. He goes on to say, I am opening a new chapter, a new assignment that calls for your unique gifts and anointing. I'm inviting you into a broad place, a wide place, where your spirit can soar and your impact can expand. This is a season of divine opportunity, where the dreams I have planted within you can flourish and the vision bestowed upon you can be realized. The path ahead is luminous, guided by my hand. Trust in the timing, for it is perfect. Trust in my direction, for it is sure. The season of hiding is over and the time of revealing has come. Step into the expansive horizon that awaits you and embrace the calling with courage and grace. You are more than ready. You are chosen. You are called. Emerge and let the glory shine through you. So I want to pray into that, and I see that as the timing of where we are in the Republic for the United States. I see that our timing is now. The refining has occurred. The place where God is calling us to stand and shine brightly and take up our place in history, just as Joseph took up his place in history to prepare Egypt for 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, where he prepared to protect the nation of Israel and the lineage of Jacob through having him placed into a position of political significance and honor to be able to shepherd God's people. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you have anointed us as a body for such a time as this, anointed us to rise up, to shine, to let our brothers and sisters see that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives in and through us, that his form of government is acting in our lives in a way that is unprecedented, that is beyond the attempts of man to try to figure out, that it's not by the strength of any significant politician like Donald Trump or any others, but it's you. You will show yourself strong. You will show yourself to be what all men need to see and need to turn to, that all men will bend the knee to Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we're in this time and space, I just pray for the leadership in the Republic. I pray for wisdom. I pray for clarity. I pray for good, sound teaching so that the hearts of men and women are clearly guided to what your calling is for them in terms of good governance, in terms of citizen representation, in terms of your people, your sheep, who hear the voice of the shepherd and they know which way to go. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your guidance and direction at this time. We thank you for the prophets who go before us to teach us, to guide us, to sound the call from the walls, where your word says that you don't do anything until you reveal it to your prophets. So let us be discerning as we hear the prophet's voice. Let us be discerning as we hear your call through the body of Christ, that we are guarded against deceit. We're guarded against those who come in as sheep in wolves' clothing to try to deceive your people. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. I feel the desire to bring in a couple of folks for praying into what we've already covered on the call so far, and then we're going to go into another segment here. So, Mark Binder, I'm going to call on you, if you would, sir, to lift up what you've heard on the call so far, affirm that which God is speaking to your heart, and anything else that he's got.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's a joy to be on this show here. I'm just going to pray, and we'll see where it goes here. Father Elohim, you are the creator of our universe and everything in it. Thank you for creating this earth to be inhabited and giving us everything we need to thrive and survive on. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us and giving us a Savior, Jesus Christ, and by his blood we are healed, and the whole earth shall be healed as well. So, Father, we earnestly pray that the Supreme Court do start doing their jobs, and we also pray, Father God, that by the blood of Jesus that we decree and declare on earth and in heaven that the law of nature and nature's God will be followed, and the murder of innocent babies and children shall end on this land of America. So, Father, be with us as we seek to navigate this sea of chaos and seek to teach truth, because spiritual truth negates warfare. Spiritual truth gives the enemy, keeps the enemy from having a claim to interfere in our lives. So help us all to spread truth so that the vultures do not gather over your children who love you. Strengthen us and protect us from deception. Send your healing power to us so that we are full of vitality, and help us to stand in the truth. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Mark. Sherry Tenpenny, does God have something on his heart that you would like to share and pray into?
I'm just listening tonight. Thank you very much.
Sherry, I didn't hear what the first part of what you said was.
I'm just here to listen tonight. Thank you very much.
Oh, very good. Okay. Thank you. Martha, good evening. Does God have something on your heart you would like to pray into the call?
I'm enjoying listening and hearing the new voices, and I am in agreement that we are in a powerful place. And so honored and blessed to be a part of it, and am enjoying the call. Thank you.
Very good. And for those of you who are new to the call, we do communion a little later, so if you would prepare communion elements at your place, we'll get to that a little bit later here in the call. Mark Tomaszewski.
Yes, sir. Father God, I've just come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. I believe that you're speaking to all of our hearts. And Father God, that you have called each one of us to a specific plan and purpose, and each one of us have people that we get to impact with the kingdom of God. Father, give us eyes to see and the ears to hear that which was spoken tonight for each one of us. Father, even tonight as we rest and sleep, that you would download into our hearts not only the calling, but the courage to step up and speak and stand up for the Republic, Lord. For you've called each one of us to a great purpose. And we just say yes and amen to your purpose, Lord, that there's always more in Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. So we're going to do something a little unusual here. I've got a song that will take some of you back to another time and space as we prepare for a word from Bruce.
Right,
I know it's not a spiritual song, but
and I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. In the streets the children screamed, lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken. And the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, by they caught the last train for the coast today. The music died, they were singing, Father, Son, and I go my share into the levee, but the levee is shot. And then good old boy, I drink whiskey and rye, and saying this will be the day that I die.
All right, Bruce, you get to bring it all together.
Oh, boy. So, how many of you are old enough to remember where you were the day the music died? That day was February 3rd, 1959. The pilot of a small Beechcraft Bonanza airplane, along with rock and roll stars Buddy Holly, age 22, J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson, age 28, and Richie Valens, age 17, were all killed when their chartered aircraft smashed into a snowy Iowa cornfield just after takeoff. Following the release of that song, American Pie, by Don McLean in 1971, that tragedy became known as the day the music died. I looked into that a little bit to see about the incident, and the interesting thing was they were to play, or I guess they did play, a gig at Clear Lake, Iowa the previous night. The musicians and the singers had been traveling by bus for many days without heat in the bus. Some of them had frostbite, and they decided, enough of this. We're going to charter an airplane. But the plane wasn't big enough for the whole group, so some of them got bumped off. Interesting, Waylon Jennings, you may remember that name, was in Buddy Holly's band. I had no idea. But anyway, the situation was that the pilot, 22 years old, had flown for 4 years, but he was not instrument rated. In other words, he could fly if he could see where he was going, but if he had to rely on the instruments, he was out of luck. This particular morning, it was early, it was snowy, there was fog. He couldn't tell the air from the ground. So he crashed. That was what I call a sea change event in many lives. It was an absolute bam. Life is over. Nothing will ever be the same moment where the world as we knew it changed forever. Now, rock and roll was in its infancy. The victims were also very young. The tragedy made no sense. And 65 years later now, I still remember where I was, and I cried. This was much like the attack on Pearl Harbor in December of 1941, the JFK assassination in 63, the Challenger space shuttle disaster of 86, the World Trade Center attack on 9/11 of 2001, a time of innocence had died. The dreams and aspirations of a promising future for each of the victims and for the nation were crushed. People were left speechless, grief-stricken, searching for answers, but finding none. So how does this relate to the Bible? In the Bible, for Mary and Martha in John chapter 11, the music died after they sent an urgent message for Yeshua to rush to attend to their dying brother. He did not, and Lazarus died. However, 4 days later, when Yeshua did arrive on the scene, Lazarus, whose body was now in a state of decay, was raised from the dead at the Lord's command, "Lazarus, come forth." For Yeshua's disciples, the music died at the crucifixion of the Master. Their lives had been intimately and absolutely entwined with his for 3 exhilarating years. The very focus of their day-to-day existence was now violently snatched from their midst, and their expectation of the imminent arrival of the promised kingdom of God now lay in ruins, crushed by the events on Calvary's Hill. All hope was lost, yet 3 days later, Christ arose from the grave. A future and a hope were renewed to them, and clear direction and new understanding were imparted by the risen Lord. Tarry in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Though it could not seem possible, life would indeed continue, just not as it had been before, nor not how they had expected. Greater events even, indeed far beyond any previous expectation they might have had, were about to be experienced and wrought by these followers of Yeshua. Now, I would say probably everyone on this call, everyone who will listen to the call, has experienced one or more such moments where metaphorically the music died in your life. It may have taken one of many different forms. It may have been the death of your child or a loved one, loss of a job, death of a vision or ministry, the sudden loss of trust in an individual in a leadership position, or through divorce from the one who was always supposed to be your soulmate. It may have resulted from a devastating medical diagnosis. It may have been the false realization or thought that I have truly outlived any earthly usefulness and I have no purpose remaining in life. And I can relate to most of those, and I think many of you possibly can as well. God has an answer to each of these tragic life experiences. He said in the Word, Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." As we turn our eyes on Yeshua, we will find the ability, the will, the courage, the direction to pick back up and carry on, though things will never be as they were before. Much has been spoken and written about the moral, spiritual, economic, and social decline in the nation over the last 60 years, and Truly, the U.S. is no longer the nation which we, the older generation, were born into. There used to be respect for parents, school personnel, law and order, government, hard work, and this is no longer the case in much of society. Seemingly, the rebellious 60s, of which I was a part, and possibly more recently, the technological revolution have opened the floodgates to a cascading decline in everything that America once held dear. Before that time, church attendance involved a high percentage of the population. Mom worked in the home. Abortion was almost unheard of. Suicides were extremely rare, especially among young people. Drug addiction and homelessness were not widespread throughout the entire population. Divorce constituted a scandal, as divorce was almost totally unknown. And one might hope and think that things in America and the world could not get any worse. But they will. God has spoken through many of his prophets that a great shaking is coming to this nation and to the world. That shaking has already begun in the house of the Lord, and many formerly highly respected ministers falling from grace in recent days, with more to come. Politicians continue to be exposed for corruption and perversion. Educators are now frequently found in the news being involved in unseemly situations with students or being exposed for the perverted teachings which they and the educational system are forcing onto the children. War is brewing on every horizon. The banking system and economy rapidly headed for a hard crash, and the average family has little savings available for even a minor emergency, much less for a 1929-style economic and societal collapse. As the shakings intensify in the land, it would appear that the music is about to die once again in America. For that part of society which has largely rejected God and the teachings of the Bible in favor of humanism, materialism, socialism, ignorance, pleasure, and morality, they will find themselves utterly devastated with nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Yet those who do intimately know the Lord, and the key operational word there being intimately, those who do intimately know the Lord, who walk in his ways, who speak his word, will be a light to those in darkness and will be used by him to bring multitudes into his kingdom. Daniel 11:32 in the Benson Commentary says, "The people that do know their God, that are savingly acquainted with him and adhere to his true worship and service, shall be strong and do exploits." Truly, these are exciting times. There is hope for those whose trust is in the Lord. Psalm 34:19-22 declares, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." This coming shaking is not for the destruction of God's people, but rather it will be to awaken everyone, including God's people, in order to bring us all back to the only true foundation in life, which is Yeshua. I say, truly, everything that can be shaken is about to be shaken. Only the solid rock of Yeshua shall stand. So, question arises then, how should we then prepare for such an uncertain future? And I would suggest 1 Peter 3:15, which provides an answer. It says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear." It is for this reason we are called to be light and salt to the world. God has not called us to destruction, but he says in Jeremiah 29:11, amplified, "I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, take hope, and I say, do not take care. You know, a lot of people will say on a phone call or you're signing off, well, take care. No, do not do that. Cast your cares upon the Lord. So I say, take hope for the future. We are called to be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of the Word, Revelation 12:11. And He always causes us to triumph in Christ, Yeshua, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Always. Let us therefore expectantly watch for any and every opportunity to speak a word in season into the lives and situations of our family members, our neighbors, and others as the Lord directs. We must expect to be used by Him to turn the hearts of the lost unto Yeshua, who is their only hope for the future. As a parting word of encouragement, I call your attention to Romans 8:35-39, which says, who, and I would say what, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, even aliens, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Seasons in life will change, sometimes very suddenly. It may seem like the music died in some area of life, yet perhaps it is only that the frequency has changed. God is desiring to bring us up to His higher frequency, such that our lives might glorify Him in greater measure. Our trust and confidence must rest fully in Him and in His desire and ability to perfect that which concerns us. God is faithful to do as He said He will do. He brought a miracle for Mary and Martha. He brought a miracle for His disciples. He is ready, willing, and able to do miracles in and through our lives as well. He brought deliverance, salvation, and rejoicing to Mordecai, Esther, and his people, and He desires to do so for us as well. God is no respecter of person. We must expect it, call it forth, and make ourselves available to be His instruments in the earth. We were born into His kingdom for such a time as this, and our true value in ministry is about to be manifested to the entire world. Expect it, prepare for it, and do it in Yeshua's mighty name. Oh, Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your encouragement, Father, that though things don't always work as we had thought they would in life, Father God, the music has died many times over for many of us, Lord, but You're desiring to bring us to Your higher frequency, that we might hear the music of heaven, that we might hear Your voice, that we might incline our ear, Father, in the name of Your Son, Yeshua. I'm thankful that You are faithful to Your word to perform it, and You said You would perfect that which concerns each one of us before the day of Your Son, Yeshua. Father, we thank You that Your word is sure and true and settled forever in heaven. We are Your children. We are in Yeshua. Yeshua is in us. We are in You. And we can't lose for the stuff we use. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of our word. And we give You the glory and the praise for it all in the mighty name of Your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Give a shout back.
Hallelujah. Powerful word, Bruce. God reigns. God reigns in the affairs of men and women, of course. You know, it's as you shared your insights this week, it's like this shaking has been occurring for a long time. I know when COVID first hit and everyone was being shaken by the COVID, I remember that was very clear to me that the shaking had begun. So we're 2-3 years into this. The shaking has begun. We are in the third great awakening. And the hope is that those who are on the fence, those who are asleep, those who have not been listening to the Lord are being shaken, being awakened, being challenged, being invited into a relationship with the living God, with Jesus Christ, with the hope of eternity. That which this world offers and that which the devil offers is just nothing but death and destruction and hurt and injury. So thank you. Wonderful teaching. Wonderful sharing. I would like to turn our hearts towards the prayers of the Republic, and I'm going to invite Governor Carpenter to focus on those areas that we need prayer in the Republic for what's unfolding, and the areas that you see through your eyes, brother, that we need to agree together for God to move in the way that only He can. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Good evening, everyone. I love the call tonight. And I love proof that I'm on the right track. And this call proves that we are who we are, and we see things from our own perspective. And what we're seeing in our world today, I think, is light being focused into a laser. And so those of us on a call tonight are part of that light. I, too, Robert, was raised in a Christian home. My dad came out of Moody. He was a Baptist, had a degree in theology, sociology, and history, and quite a brilliant man. And he planted a lot of good seeds. And I grew up with the typical mentality of most churchgoers, and I'm going to get raptured out of here. I'm that generation. And as I continued to seek the Lord and grow in Him, He started doing wonderful things. And it was a couple of years before the Republic was birthed that I was at a small home fellowship, and a stranger appeared there, and I didn't go to fellowship often. My wife was passing, and it was for friends, and it was her time alone to be with other people during that time of going away. But that night, I was encouraged to stay, and I did, and there was a prophet that was new to the community that some of the host and hostess knew, and I was the last person that he prayed over and prophesied over. In fact, I got the tape today, and it was quite astounding. And it said at the end of the prophecy that I'd be part of providing the substance, the ability to know where we're going and how to get out of this bind. And I thought, you know, that is incredible prophecy over little old me living on borrowed time with a wife dying and my bank account's dry. And yeah, right. And what a ride that has been to where I am today. That was 2012, 10, 9. And today I lead the vetting committee for the Republic. And I've been overwhelmed in my capacity to practically reach out to almost every leader that I do. I reach out to everyone that comes across through the vetting process. and I get to feel their spirit and hear their heart. And God has done a wonderful thing here in Colorado. He's brought together two Patricks and a Paul, and they're just feeding off of each other. They're in separate counties, but they all came together on Saturday after getting interconnected on Friday, and they spent 4 hours in the Word praising and seeking the Lord and guidance and taking what their calling is forward. And I didn't call them to do that. God did. So I confirm I have the privilege of being able to attest and confirm the beginning of this call. It's such a privilege. You know, Robert, we talked about this other little thing that the movie's playing out with JFK Jr. and Robert Kennedy and all of these different things. And, you know, that's just part of the distraction. Keep you glued to the soap operas. But right here, these are the men and women of valor. These are the men and women that God has called forth, and I am encouraged. You know, with a movement like this, starting like this, and reading God's Word, we will be victorious. And we will go down in our place in history, because history and God will ultimately be our judge anyway. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, for a multi-strand cord is strong. And we thank you for each and every fiber in this cord and those that you have to add to it. And through you, we are victorious. And we stand in that word, we proclaim it, and we live that comfort and that blessed assurance of what a ride it is. Praise you, Yeshua. Bring more into our midst of like-minded men and women of valor, that together we can stand together and overthrow the enemy and take back our rightful inheritance, position of covenant with you. We give you the praise and glory, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That was awesome. That was awesome. Oh, let's see. I want to invite Mark Carroll to prepare for communion. But before I call you to the microphone, I want to ask Mark to come back on. And there's about, you may have other areas to pray into for the Republic as well. But I would like to lift up the Republic prayer requests for those who are struggling, either in positions of leadership or in their state to birth. to birth a cohesive group of leaders. I'd like to pray you to pray into growth, that it be godly, orderly, that the devil's kept out of in the formation steps of each of the states. I'd like to pray into simplicity, a streamlined education for those coming on board. And whatever your heart calls to you in terms of raising up of the assemblies, et cetera, and the sword and the word are yours, brother.
Thank you, Robert. Father Yahweh, hear our prayer. Thank you for all the people around the world that are standing against all forms of tyranny. Thank you for those in the Republic that are standing up. Thank you for all who are spreading your word throughout this land. And thank you for your plan of salvation that is available to whoever will claim it. You are the same yesterday as you are today, as you will be tomorrow. Be with us today and every day as we gather together and praise your holy name. Help us to be faithful and true to our callings. Strengthen us in mind, body, and spirit as we strive to be useful to your plan of standing up our beloved Republic. Bring us out of the bondage of corporate slavery and teach us what true liberty is all about, Father. So we pray for those who are going through tough times, losing loved ones, losing jobs, families being divided, and soldiers resigning their commissions because of incompetent leaders. So may you give all strength to continue and valor in battle, Father. We also pray for order in our Republic, growth, and simplicity of teaching. And then Ephesians 6, verse 12 through 18, of course, says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand all the evil, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, in the name of Yeshua. And take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So, Father, we ask you to bring your glory and your presence in our lives, because we need you more than ever today. We can't do this by ourselves. We wouldn't even want to try. And we know that you're on our side, and we're trying to be on your side, Heavenly Father. So, I ask you to bring your healing to those who need it, Heavenly Father. We also ask you to bring protection. Domes of protection on us, our family, and our friends, that the enemy cannot penetrate through while we do this work. And we also ask the angels to be camp around about us and commission them, Heavenly Father, to take care of all the spiritual attacks that come against us. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Yeshua, who's coming soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who will soon be known as Lord of Righteousness. We pray it in his name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark.
Yes, sir.
Mark Carroll, are you ready to lead us in communion?
Yes, thank you. Oh, we want to remember that we're doing this in remembrance of Jesus, and go prepare your hearts. Jesus, at his last Passover meal, was with his brothers, and he raised bread, he gave thanks, and said, "This is my body that we know now was broken for us." But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made, for the price that you paid. You can take the bread. And he took the cup and again gave thanks. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God, for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was poured out for us, the ultimate drink offering that was shed and represents the new covenant, the eternal covenant, the hope of salvation, the hope of glory that is through you, Jesus, the way and the truth and the life. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Take the cup. Praise God.
You're muted.
Oh, that's why he didn't respond. Mark, Carol, I wanted to give you an opportunity to lift up any prayers or share any thoughts you have this evening.
Well, thank you. I was I did, listening this evening and watching the sun set through the haze here. Normally I can see the mountains, and I can't. And a number of the people that shared mentioned the word truth, and that what was jumping out to me with everything going on in the world, we all, you know, trying to get news about events, and I was struck when Bruce was sharing about, you know, this assassination attempt could have been another moment where the music died, catastrophic event. And I thought of the thousands, perhaps millions, not perhaps, definitely millions of events that could have been catastrophic, and yet the Lord diverted, you know, his plan was not subverted, you know, in people's lives and situations, nations, in this republic. And so I was thinking about the verse about seeing through a mirror dimly, and I wasn't sure exactly where that was, but it's in Corinthians 13. And so I'm going to read a little bit of context, but Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So, Father God, we give thanks because we know that you are love. And, God, you love us so much so that you sent your Son. And with all these things going on in the world, Lord, we know regardless, Lord, that you love us, that you have plans for us, as we reminded in Jeremiah. And it is to prosper and not harm us. Oh, God, we give thanks that you will enable us to see you. And yes, there will be false prophecies, but there are those that hear from you. And so, Lord, give us discernment. I pray discernment over my brothers and sisters, God. I pray, God, for this republic, God, that you would give them wisdom and knowledge and us strength to do what you placed before us, God. Help us to know that Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. And with the Spirit within us, you give us discernment to recognize you, Lord God, as truth. Your word is truth. Things that are going on in the world that we need knowledge of and the ability to take action on, you give us that, God. And so we can stand firm in it and in your word and in the knowledge of your love for us. We love you, we praise you, we pray over this republic, God. We believe and we know in the restoration of it. Many of the prophets are speaking of a great harvest, and we say yes and amen. Yes and amen, God, to your harvest, to our brothers and sisters coming into the kingdom. So we love you and praise you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. John Underwood, prayer requests, praise reports, and can you lift up President Donald Trump?
So, thank you, Lord, for our dear President Donald Trump, and thank you for saving his life. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought him through this and by your mighty power, and thank you that so many news outlets and so many people recognize that it was your mighty power, miracle-working power that did this. And we just give you praise. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I just pray that your covering will be over him continually, that you will keep him in the hollow of your hand, that you will you'll give your angels charge over him, keep him in all his ways. And thank you, Lord, that you have won the victory. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving mightily on behalf of this nation. Thank you, Lord, that you call him your David, and that you call this nation your nation. And thank you for that, Lord, and thank you that your grace is upon us. Help us, Lord, to step up to your plan for us, and continue to move mightily, not only in the earth, but in each one of us, Lord. And we just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have any prayer requests, brother?
Yeah, just that the Lord will give me wisdom to get my diet right so that I can get the inflammation down and not have swelling in my ankles and so on.
Okay. Martha, could I call again on you and ask you to pray for John, his health and diet and swelling in his body?
Okay. Dear Lord, we lift up John to you. You know what is wrong, and you know what to do about it. Tell him, Lord. Give him ideas, give him insights, give him dreams of how he can fast or add supplements to his diet to calm him inside, to give him peace in his body, in his mind, his heart, his spirit, and know that your hand is upon him.
The craziness of God.
And if there's anything that he can do for himself, show him. And bring people across his path, bring articles and information that can help him ease his distress, ease his pain, give him comfort, Lord. Get everything working properly in his body. Get him fully in alignment with you, Lord. He has a job to do, and he needs to be physically equipped to run the race. Lord, equip him physically to run the race that you have set him on. We raise him up to you, Lord, and we come to you interceding and plead for his health. For he loves you, Lord. Bless him. Bless him with healing and health and long, satisfying life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Martha. I love your prayers. Thank you so much. Well, I want to give our friend Matthew Westrich an opportunity to sing praise to the Lord with his lovely voice and to close us in a word of prayer. So, Matthew, you get the caboose this evening. I'd like you to share with us from your heart.
Father Yahweh, I just thank you for
Thank you for tonight.
everything that you, how you connected everything, and bringing everything together. I just thank you, and I just praise you, and I just ask you to bless each and every person on the call, and every person in the Republic, and even beyond. Lord, I just pray that your kingdom will come as it is in heaven and on earth. And I just thank you, yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That was awesome. So I don't know what else I've got here. Let's see. I'm going to try this one. I thank all of you for joining the call this evening. I'd like to challenge you to read the story of read the story of Joseph from chapters 37 through 50. And as you meditate on his life, I want you to just ponder where you are in terms of the trials, the hiccups, the things that you didn't count on, the things that were looked like a hindrance. And I want you to explore how God's actually used all those to prepare you for this step of your life, this stage in your life. And as he opens up the doors for his kids to fulfill what he's called us to in this time, I'd just like you to consider that for yourself. It's like you might have had pitfalls, you might have had holdups, you might think that what God promised you and whispered to you in the secret chamber of your heart will never come to pass. But I'd like to encourage you to say, no, all of these things are stepping stones. If this didn't happen, then this wouldn't happen. If he wasn't thrown into a well, he wouldn't have been sold into slavery. If he wasn't sold into slavery, he wouldn't have served in Potiphar's house. If he hadn't been put in jail by his Potiphar's wife's false accusations of him, the king's cupbearer would not have been had his dream interpreted. If he hadn't interpreted the dream of the cupbearer, then the cupbearer wouldn't have been able to refer him to Pharaoh at the time when Pharaoh had a dream prophesying the future for Egypt and for Israel. So just ponder that, of where you are in that journey and how faithful our God is. I am going to stop the